Well, it is Thanksgiving Sunday, and I don't know when that happened. It was just like yesterday we were celebrating Thanksgiving Sunday. And I always think about, you know, preaching a sermon that I've not preached before. I remember I had a pastor. This is utterly true story. He had a book like this. And we knew what he was preaching every year. And I attended his church for 5 years. I was a kid. And we knew everywhere Thanksgiving, there was a special sermon that he preached. He read every word. And we did not fall asleep because we basically, you know, my friends and I, we batted that he was going to stop here and then take a deep breath. And then it was fascinating. I won sometimes and I lost sometimes because within a year you forget a lot of things. No wonder lives were not being transformed because it was just repetitive. And sometimes, you know, the danger becomes is that, especially for clergy, hey man, you're so busy, why bother? People will not know the difference. They do actually. Believe me or not, they do. If we want the Holy Spirit to move in a very powerful way, we rather heed what he wants us to say versus just go with the tradition. Now, I'm not saying anybody who follows traditions, God bless them. It just never works for me. You know, tradition is good. It creates some order. But I do believe, we do believe in a living Bible that is utterly wants to change people's lives. So we better pay attention. And I'm telling you, every story that I've read over the years, I never read them again the same way, through the same eyes, because God has added to my story over the years. And through my experience, I look at it in a very different way. Now today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I was praying to what I need to preach on, and God put on my heart, you know, David's story from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and especially within America that we do live in, it's very hard for us to understand and comprehend that nothing we own is ours. You know, everybody talks about how hard they work and they've made it. You know, that we've made it, or there's this language that's constantly used, you know. Well, all those things you see is too hard work. Well, of course it's too hard work. What do you mean? Like, it didn't come from the sky. But that hard work would have never existed if God would not have given us the strength to do that hard work. The other thing is that I'm totally against is that, as I'm going to preach on this, and I want to warn you, there's this type of jealousy that people are always jealous when people are doing so well in their lives. You see? And that is, I believe, it's a sin. You should never be jealous of what others are doing. If they're doing well, be happy for them. Be absolutely happy for them. Because it changed the way you look at life. People sometimes are miserable. Well, I can't believe they did so much. So he didn't work so hard for it. You know, stop being jealous. Stop being happy for others. This lack of happiness is just, it's a destructive power. It creates bitterness within a person's life. The third thing is that we need to understand is that all we have is given to us by God. We are just stewards of it. The moment we become selfish about things that we have, believe me, and I've seen this in my life, God will take it away from you because you cannot be trusted with it. So with that in mind, I want to talk about stuff. We all have stuff, right? Boy, I mean, some of us have stuff to basically put the stuff in, and then when we have that stuff, we put it somewhere else because there's no more space for that stuff. It is said that there are over 30,000 storage areas in America just to keep our stuff that we normally don't use. Have you ever seen the program Storage Wars? I love that program. You know, sometimes they find treasures, and I feel so sorry for all these people who have held onto those treasures for all these years, and they die, and somebody else takes it, and then they might not even put value to it, you see? And it's interesting, you know, sometimes I value certain things because there's a history to it, I'm sentimentally attached to it, and I've worked very hard to get it, and then, believe me, when somebody else takes that, they will have no value to it. They might just sell it for so cheaply, it might just make me be resurrected that day to come and rebuke them down the line. But it's such is life, right? And we work so hard and we don't take anything with us. There was this husband who was really, 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 cheap. Very cheap. And he never spent any money in his life. I'm sure you've all heard this. And he basically calls his lawyers and the priest and the presence of his wife. He says, you know, I want everything that I've made to go with me in the casket. You know, I want it to be buried with me. And the wife makes a promise. She says, sweetheart, I'm going to do this for you. And then, of course, when the time comes, she fulfills her promise by writing a check. Right there. So what I'm saying is, we do not take anything with us. We don't take anything with us. In this life, just enjoy it. Sometimes we're always working for retirement, right? I did a funeral years ago. I did not know the family, but the guy needed a machine to talk through. And I felt, I mean, he was retired, and he was sitting next to me. It was his sister who passed away. I did a funeral, and he said, one thing I regret is not enjoying my life while I could. I always thought that retirement, I was going to enjoy it, and this happened to me. Today is a gift. Tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying be a fool, but enjoy life today to its extreme, because it is a gift from God. But recognize the giver of that gift, because if we don't, then we will never be able to enjoy it as such. Now, so we talked about the stuff, and we spend $12 billion a year to keep our stuff safe. I understand that. I don't need 40 shirts in my cabinet, but some of them, they have a history behind it. They go back 25 years, and the good news, I still fit in them. That makes me feel good. I don't know about you, that makes me feel fantastic. We're going to talk about David today. And David did not come from wealth in any way, shape, or form. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy from Bethlehem. His father had a lot of sheep, so he grew up with the sheep. I mean, he was in the field all the time. And that's where he learned the harp, I think. You know, when you're in the desert with your sheep, what do? You talk to your sheep, right? They don't respond back. And then, but you invest your time in some sort of music. So he learned the harp, maybe he knew how to sing, and he was a very strong kid at the age of 14. But when you were 14, you were considered a man back then. Now it starts at 10. Oh, I know everything, right? Boy, you know everything. Don't pay the mortgage now. What's that? Yeah, you don't know everything. So we move on the story of David, that David is chosen by God to be the king of Israel. David never looked at that position, never sought that position. God gave him that position. I wonder why. The Bible tells us, because he was a man after God's own heart. What a gift to be a man and a woman who loves God so much that your heart is engaged with him. Most of the songs that David wrote, they came out from the walks in the desert, you see, from hardships. And his main goal was to understand God, to obey God, to worship God, and to glorify God. I love David. Now, he's not the best person in the world, but I love David. But I love because God loved him so much. And then as David becomes the king of Israel against all odds, he's got an enemy. The king, the sitting king, who's called Saul, who is no longer a man who's following God's way, he wants to kill David. So he's got people who want to murder him, and yet he stays faithful. Eventually he becomes the ordained king of Israel. And he fights a lot of fights, and he wins a lot of wars, and he becomes richer and richer and richer. So much so that he becomes, who's the richest man now? Is it Bill Gates, or I think it's Bill Gates, again, because Microsoft shares went up. Who?
Putin.
Putin. Yeah, you know things that I don't know. They might call you to testify. We don't want to talk about these things. No, I don't. So, but he was one of the richest men ever lived. Because the Queen of Sheba came with all these gold and sapphires, you know, because they wanted to, you know, what do you take a king who has got everything? Take a bigger gold nugget or take a bigger ruby and just, you know, say, hey, king, we really appreciate you. No one appreciates me that way. But anyway, we move on. But I'm not a king. Now, one of the things you need to understand is that David always struggled with the following. He struggled that he was becoming wealthier and wealthier. He built himself a nice palace and put a lot of stuff in it. And the more stuff he had, the bigger the palace had to come. But one of the things that really bothered him in life was that, I'm going to come back to these pictures, that God's presence, that God's tabernacle, remember the Ten Commandments were placed in the tabernacle? That they were being kept in a tent. And people worshipped God in a tent, and the tent had, you know, an outer court, and people went and, you know, they brought sacrifices. And this was the inner place where the true worship and sacrifices took place. And the temple, the tabernacle of the Lord was in that tent. Now, this was in the desert. This was the, it's always been with them. Now, God never, never, never wanted a palace for himself. He did, actually, God never asked for a temple for himself. It was David who could not sleep at night. He wanted a palace, a place, a temple for God to be and for people to go and worship. Now, eventually, he got his wishes because God says, all right, if you want to build me a temple, you're not the one who's going to build it. It will be your son, Solomon. So that's why it's called Solomon's Temple. Actually, it is God's temple built by David's money, and Solomon just foresaw the, he just had to, you know, see the project move forward. And eventually the temple was built, and it's the same structure, but on a bigger scale, no longer a tent, but beautiful stones, and there was a lot of gold in the temple. This is obviously, I wasn't there, I did not take a picture, but this is how it looked from inside, the way it's described in the Bible. And you had three separate rooms within that temple. I'm not talking about the outer courts, but there was an area where you just entered. Then the second area was just for the priests. And the third area was only one priest who would go there once a year to bring the atonement, to bring the sacrifices of the people. And John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was one of these priests when the angel appeared to him and he says, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. That's where it happened, in the third place, where the tabernacle of God was placed there. Now, one of the things that David knew, David knew scripture. He knew that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it belonged to it, to him. The second thing he knew is that for by God all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by God, and they were created for him, not for us. You and I mean, I feel great, actually, when I just think about this word. I am created for God. Once we understand that, it really changes the way we look at life. So everything I do, everything I am, everything God has put me through, I am his. He created me to be his, to serve him. And I don't know what my purpose is in life, but if I ever question it, I say, well, I'm created for him. I better use my time very wisely here. What unfortunately we do a lot of the times, we become very, you know, person-oriented, but ourselves, you know, why me, why I, why this? And we forget the bigger picture, that we are created for God. Now, David knew this. He was a man after God's own heart. That's why we should never follow David's example. Yeah, maybe we can, but we should always follow Jesus' example. He is far superior to David. Now, the tabernacle was, but in order to build this luxury, you needed money. You know, some people say, well, I'll pray and God will give. My God, I'm still waiting. Let's pray about it. You know, prayer is very important. Sometimes prayers must be uttered, and sometimes those prayers must be turned into action. Now, David had a burden to build God's temple. Now, he could not ask for anybody to give money towards the temple if he was not the first one would give it from his own pocket. What I find mesmerizing, I have been in a lot of fundraising campaigns. The person who is preaching and believe in such a thing, they themselves are not giving a dime towards what they believe in. So if we do not believe in, let's not expect others to join, because it is God thing, not man thing. Have you ever been in places like where, you know, I've got a burden, God gives me. Why don't you give towards it? And I always say, the first question I ask, I go after the sermon, how much are you giving? Oh, what do you mean? I'm a minister. Yeah, but it's your burden. Why am I going to support it? Right? But when they say, this is how much I'm giving, I'm saying, you know what? Count me in. This is what David did. It puts Bill Gates into shame. He gives from his own money towards the temple in today's money. Because if I give you the temple money or, you know, what was that? I'm going to tell. $450 million in silver he gives towards the temple project. And in gold, $17 billion of today's money. You think that's a lot of money? He was a very wealthy man. Now, what is amazing what happens is that once he does this, because he truly believes none of this was his. Because he believed that the silver is God's and the gold is God's, as the prophet Haggai said. He believed that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. So even the wealth that we make, it's not because we made it, because God gave us the strength to make it. We better be good stewards of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No.
It is against this background. This was just an introduction. Against this background. Now, David, when he gives all that money, people get very, very excited. And they say, do not leave us out. Then the people rejoiced. Once David gave, all the leaders start giving. Very generously. It was the biggest fundraising ever happened in the history of civilization in one day. Remember last week, it was the biggest ship, Noah's ship, that ever built until the 19th century. Boy, you have to wait all these years for a similar boat. When God works in a person's heart, when he gives you a burden, be the first one to respond. And do not procrastinate. Because when you follow up with that burden, people are going to see and they want to join you. It's contagious. So the people join him and they give. And this is what David says. He stops the whole congregation and he praises God in the assembly. And he says, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the majesty. Yours, O Lord, is the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Thou, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But then he says, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? I mean, he's surprised at how much he gave. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple, for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. And these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here are giving to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the whole heart of devotion to keep your commandments, requirement, and decrees, and to the very everything to build the palatial structure of which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and their king. What fascinates me about this prayer is that it's all about the heart and integrity and willingness. You know, if there's no willingness, nothing happens. But once you understand that all you have comes from God, then your whole perspective of giving changes. I'll give you a little example. I'm not going to give you other people's examples. I want to give you my example. You know, the danger of temples also, let me put it this way. What they did was a wonderful thing. David built the temple for the glory of God. Later, what happened to the temple? it became for the glory of the people. That's what structures do. It starts right. But after a generation or two, human hearts can change. But just because they change, it doesn't mean that God cannot raise new generations to bring truth back to the picture. God is in the business of renewing the world every day through his people in this world. Those structures that we see are all going to be gone. David wanted to do this. God says, all right, son, you can do this. It's not my desire, but if you really want to build me a temple, build it. God foresaw the future. David did not. He just wanted to say, Lord, you've given me so much. I want to give back to you. And he gave generously. What a heart. What an integrity. What a willingness. And people saw that. They said, count us in. And the temple was built. The money was raised in one day. No Facebook. No FaceTime. No Twitters. What else do people use? No financial advice. Sorry, we don't love financial advisors. But there was nobody who was just, or fundraising campaigns. It took one man. I mean, he was wealthy. Yeah. But people say, yeah, it was easy for him to do. I say, yeah, maybe. But I say, with the little you have, what do you do? So we can always get out of the equation. This is not about the amount that we are given. It's the heart. It is always about the heart. It is about integrity. Don't wait for somebody else to carry the burden that God has given you. Now, a few months ago, every year God gives me something crazy to work on. It was brought to my attention, these kids. This is my temple. This is my temple. Now, these kids, I don't know them. I know their names. I have their biographies. And there are three or four more. These are kids who attend the former school that I attended. It's a boarding school that was run by missionaries. But these kids are orphans. And they are in dire, dire need. Right? And I just prayed, Lord. I said, Lord, just you've given me this burden. So I shared it with somebody, and they said, which is crazy. He said, would they put a plaque in the room? I said, yeah, they will put a plaque on the hearts of these kids. It will be invisible, but you cannot see it. Would you like to participate? We'll think about it. Let's pray about it. I said, you're not going to give. Don't pray about it. Don't waste your time. You know, let's just not talk about it. I'm going to pray about this. When people say to me, you're going to pray about this, just move on. Don't waste your energy. Now, people mean with all good intents they're praying. Are they really going to go on their knees and say, Lord, do you think I should help people who have no mother and father? What would you think God will say? Yes! God already gave you the answer. Isn't that amazing what people just pray? Let's not spiritualize things. These kids, and I'm not asking you anything, but I'm going to give you a testimony. God gave me this burden. It was mine to carry. So I prayed. And God put it on my heart. He says, okay, it's coming out of your fund. No problem, Lord. So I put the money aside for these kids. Then I was speaking to somebody in California. And I said, boy, I just said. And he said, you know what? I'm going to invest in some stocks and everything that it makes, I'm going to put it towards these kids. I didn't ask him. He called me, man, these stocks have gone up. I said, every dime is gone for these kids. Every dime. He says, do you want me to sell it? I said, no, let it go further up. He says, what if it goes down? I said, so be it. But do you see, it's not about the money. It's about the burden that God gives us. What is the burden that God is giving you? It might be varied. I'm not asking you for a dime for these kids. Not a dime. Unless God gives you the burden, it's up to you. I'm not going, but God will provide because he gave the burden. I mean, they're not cheap. Think God will provide because all the world is his. But what God said to me, this one, it needs sacrifice. There's nothing enough that we can sacrifice for God's kingdom that is not worthy. So we move on to the story is that if God is the giver of all things, do I truly believe in this? Do I truly believe that the hands that I have will not move unless God has made them move? Do I truly believe that you know, if God gives me the burden to carry, that He will not also provide the means for me to carry it on. Take the Church of the Risen King. It baffles me. I really had doubts. Lord, I had doubts. I used to say, I've never planted a church. Never planted a church. How this is going to work? Because you're always comparing yourself with Crystal Cathedral, which no longer is in existence. What God wanted from the very beginning is trust. One soul at a time. And we've seen baptisms, we've seen conversions, we've seen people come to faith, and we are still changing lives. Because the work is the Lord's. We are just stewards of it. And if each and every one of us has, when God speaks to us, we listen, every burden is going to cost you. There is no walking in this Christian life without cost. It could be financial. It could be your time. It could be separation. You know, like a lot of missionaries go overseas and then they put their hearts out there and they spend years and they come back. They're separated from their families. It might take sacrifice where you are giving your time and you're praying. What is your burden? Maybe we have become so busy to really focus our eyes upon Jesus and say, Lord, I want to do this and I know it's going to cost me. But what is that? Because see, I'm going to give you this. There's so much joy in giving to God than receiving from Him. I cannot explain that joy. Medication will not do that for you. Great parties are not going to do that for you. It comes right from inside. The Holy Spirit will do something in your heart that will turn your giving into a praise. Because you have nothing to gain back. Most people will do something to get back something. You know, like, I do this for you, you do this for me. And I was thinking about, you know, I was listening to Christian music as I was driving this morning. Do you ever have regrets? Well, everybody's perfect here. Yeah, I might have one or two. But then I say, are there real regrets? Or just, you know, anyway, that's a whole different sermon. One of the things I was thinking, sometimes our giving is investing in people's lives. You know, we do invest in people's lives. And sometimes these people are going to drop you when they move on to the next because they don't need you anymore, right? Now, why you were doing that, to get something in return, or were you doing it for the glory of God? People say to me, oh man, Pastor, I feel very bad for you because you went after all that trouble. I said, that was not trouble. I was not doing it for them. I was doing it for the glory of God. Yeah, you get hurt, but that's your human nature. But doesn't Scripture says that everything you do, do it for the glory of God? Whether you are cleaning the toilets, whether you are washing somebody's car, whether you, there should never be this intention of, I did all this for you, what am I getting in return? Nothing, because you're doing it for God. God gave you the strength to do it. So praise be to your name. They did not appreciate you? So what? You will be drunk many times in life, but you have to move on. Don't stay there. And some people say, I'm never going to do the same mistake twice. Well, it's not a mistake to do things for the glory of God. Do it again, and people will drop you again, but you're an expert now. The more you do it, the better it becomes. It's easier to get, all right, it's all right. It's human nature, right? You move on. But my friends, my challenge to you is this. I cannot do what David did, but I can do the same thing. This is a gift given to us by God. I want you to go and see what is the burden that God has given you. It's going to cost you something. It's not my burden, it's yours. Could be, it might look very small compared to what David did. So what? He was wealthy. He was the wealthiest man on planet Earth. I don't know about his portfolio. Maybe he gave next to nothing. I don't know, but he gave very willingly. I mean, how much is Bill Gates worth? $100 billion, let's say. If he gave $5 billion, I'd say, that's all? You see, It doesn't matter. But what is your burden? Grasp it. It's yours. And fulfill it. And do it for the glory of God. Not because it's going to make you feel better. But the beauty of it, it will make you feel better at the end of the day. Because you're doing it for God's glory. So David praised God. And what I love is that same passion that we have when we carry God's burdens to fulfill them, it's contagious and it will just affect the people around you. It is contagious to do things for the Lord. Your kids and my kids are watching how we are living our lives. Is it all about us? Or is it all about the glory of God? We can only produce what we are. You know, somebody says the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I think that's true. Some apples fall very near, and some apples don't leave the tree. That's a new one, right? Stuck there! Come on, leave. I'm happy here. And it just repeats. You have to break those things. You know, take everything that your past generation did as a blessing, take them, but do even better. And do it all for the glory of God. Because He deserves everything we do for Him. I believe, at the end of the day, it's not about the temple. It's not about these kids. It's not about the burden that God has given you. You know what it is? It is the test of your heart. God is testing you and me. That are we worshiping through our lips? Or are we worshiping through our hearts? No gift is big enough for the giver of all. After all, as I said at the very beginning, Jesus, God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son. This was my test. These kids were my test. Because it was close to my heart. I know these kids indirectly because I've gone through that road. I've walked through that road. I was not an orphan, but I've met a lot of people who were orphaned. What is your burden today? Go and talk about it. Pray about this. And do not ever make it about you. Do it for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now we're going to have a time to... And age does not play a role. Let me put it that way. Age does not play a role. Mary was 14 years old when she carried Christ in her womb. Age has nothing to do with it. It's the burden that God gives you and what you do with it. Sometimes it doesn't cost you a dime. Where a neighbor who's really struggling, they need your help. And they need your time, they need your love. Do what God gives you to do for His glory. Amen.